This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Prime Time. Live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
10 minutes to go in the second quarter. The Atlanta Falcons, after a false start, facing a 3rd and 9 right now. They just crossed midfield, Matt. Bijan Robinson had a strong run. He's got 9 for 30 so far on the ground. He also caught a touchdown, the only touchdown so far in the game. Actually, they are on the opposite side of the 50 right now, so I moved them from Rams territory to their own. So big third down upcoming for the Atlanta Falcons. Kirk Cousins going to go up top and airborne out of bounds, and we will have a punt here for the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, really poor job there by the Falcons. They had a chance to take somewhat of a bit of control of this game here. Up 7-0 at midfield, everything's going their way, and now they have to punt. Bijan Robinson comes into the game tonight with 776 yards receiving. That's the most by a running back in Atlanta Falcons franchise history. So, Tim, not a big surprise that he gets the first touchdown tonight on a pass from Kirk Cousins. Your first touchdown scorer, Bijan Robinson. He's a beast. I mean, we're talking about best running backs in the NFL in the pregame show tonight. Christian McCaffrey, he's a beast. You know, we're watching him on Sunday night. And I'm like, not too many players I'd rather have than Christian McCaffrey. Bijan Robinson's right up there. Best running backs in the NFL.
Yeah. Bijan Robinson, some hard-fought yards so far in this game. And I know our friend Mitch Moss is hoping that Matthew Stafford can get it going right now, as he is in a fantasy championship with Matthew Stafford. 5 of 9, 43 yards. Not going to get it done, but he said he didn't need anything crazy. So.
Well, he's not doing anything crazy, that's for sure. He's not even doing anything impressive so far. Stafford's going to have to get this thing jump-started for the Rams. I'm going to look at the MVP market at DraftKings. Live betting market right now, the Rams are still 2.5 favorites for the game because they're getting the ball back. You got to lay $1.45 on that 2.5, so that's significant. The total has dropped all the way to 40.5. Money line, Rams minus 180. I mean, right now, I feel pretty good about that Falcons plus 8. I'm not going to take a middle shot yet. I feel like the Falcons got a pretty good shot to win this game.
Live.
Yeah. I think they're live to win the game. I wanted to look at the DraftKings market for the MVP. Because with Stafford off to a slow start tonight, we were talking about this with Johnny Avello. I can't find the live numbers on this. Looking at the DraftKings website right now.
Right now, Matthew Stafford down to minus 210.
There it is, 210. Drake May plus 165.
That's moved a little bit, not too crazy.
What was the pregame?
230.
230?
Yeah, we actually have the screen. The graphic we're throwing up right now, these were pregame numbers for those of you watching with us. Matthew Stafford was minus 230. Drake May plus 180. Right now, Drake May down to plus 165. Stafford minus 218.
And Jalen Hurts, 500-1? Yes.
And Baker Mayfield. Remember when we talked about Baker Mayfield? 1,000-1.
How can he even be listed? Come on. I know he's trying to get somebody to bet a few bucks here and there, and some people are dumb enough to bet those long shots have no shot. But Baker Mayfield at one point.
We were talking about him
as one of the favorites. Yeah. And the Bucks have gone in a complete tailspin.
I can't believe they've got a shot to make the playoffs. What a
and host a game. Ugh. The Rams could be on the road in the playoffs at Tampa Bay. In the first round. Thank you. And I mean,
two of these three teams are going to be on the road. Seattle, San Francisco, and the Rams.
Talked about this for many years. I don't know why it's never been changed. But can we stop with the division winner? Division winners have to have a home game in the playoffs. When you have a bad division, and we've seen the NFC South be bad in recent years, the AFC South be bad. Why does a team like the Rams have to hit the road to play a division winner that could be 8-9?
I'm fine with them getting in the playoffs.
A playoff spot.
That's fine.
Not a home game.
Yeah. I mean, college football quickly learned their mistake last year. Wait, what? We got to figure this thing out. We can't be having Boise State and Arizona State get byes. So they got rid of that. Then this year, Ohio State and Indiana both get byes, as they should have. And now this situation. So we will see how it ultimately plays out. But the Rams, they got to keep winning this game in order to try to avoid going on the road to maybe Philly or Chicago, depending on that ultimately plays out in week 18. Because right now it is 7-0, and the Rams not really getting much going offensively right now. A third and short upcoming here for the Rams with 9 minutes to go in the second quarter.
I want to put Sean McVay in that class of the elite coaches in the NFL. I always do. I like Sean McVay, very sharp guy, but man, sometimes he's got to wake up with this play calling. Again, right there on 2nd and 5, just run the ball up the middle. On 4th and 1, ran the ball up the middle. You've got one of the most dynamic, if not the most dynamic, passing game in the NFL with when you have Devontae Adams and Puka Nacua out there. They're not even trying to get the ball to Puka Nacua right now.
We got interception,
Stafford throws
Matt.
A ball that's picked on 3rd down.
Oh, buddy.
And that's going to be a pick 6.
Wow.
And the Falcons are going to be up 13-0. See, that's you put your quarterback in that spot where you got to throw it on 3rd and 1. Why didn't you throw it on 2nd and 5? What? So,
Matthew Stafford now down to -160 to win MVP. Drake May +130, a pick 6.
34-yard pick 6 by Jesse Bates.
And now I'm kicking myself because it was +140. Both you and I said, you know, we think the Falcons might be live in this game.
Yep.
Now they're a -$1.35 favorite.
I know.
Whew. Pick 6 by Matthew Stafford.
Rams should have been throwing the ball on 2nd and 5 instead of running up the middle for no gain. And then Stafford throws into, I would say, traffic there on 3rd down. Ball gets deflected and picked off. And I think Drake May is live to win the MVP because if Stafford bombs tonight and the Rams already are not going to win this division, there's going to be a big push for Drake May to win MVP.
Atlanta Falcons after the pick 6, a 2.5-point favorite. The total almost back to where it was pre-flop. It was down to 40.5 just a moment ago. You get this pick 6, Mac. Whoop, back to 48.5. DraftKings actually closed 48.5.
I think you're going to see a change in Rams play calling now, right? You're down 2 touchdowns. You're not going to run the ball up the middle all the time. Sean McVay's going to have to open this thing up. That's kind of when I was at the Hawaii Bowl last week on Christmas Eve.
Oh, Tim, what a great game.
You and I were texting about that. I got a photo, a couple photos from the Hawaii Bowl we're going to throw up on tomorrow night's show. I'll surprise you a little bit with the photos.
Okay.
It's going to be a good one. But it's 21-0 Cal, and you and I were texting back and forth.
It's over.
Very unhappy with the way the game was going. Very unhappy with the way Hawaii's play calling and Hawaii's offense was operating. And then you get down 3 touchdowns and things change, right? You're going to open it up. Now you got to chase. You can't worry about running the ball on 1st down, trying to establish the run or whatever. You've really got to open things up, and that's what Hawaii did to get back in the game. And obviously the 4th quarter, that game blew up. But I think what the Rams are going to have to do here is they got to open up this offense. And Stafford now is going to be throwing almost all the time.
Well, I was looking at the live numbers here at DraftKings, Matt. He only has 43 passing yards,
right,
Matthew Stafford. Over 300 passing yards is +160.
Mm-hmm.
You would think, Matt, from here on out, they're going to be airing it out.
Got to.
So is that something you'd be looking at here? Matthew Stafford, over 300 passing yards at now +205. That number continues to just soar. 275 plus is +110. I think you're going to see Stafford air it out. I think there's a correlation. I would imagine Williams and Corum, their rushing yards look to the under. And I think Matthew Stafford right now, if you can get some adjusted numbers, I think he's going to be looking to air it out a lot here the rest of the game, down 14-0.
I'm not going to bet it, but I would not discourage that if you want to bet it. I think you are going to see Stafford put up big numbers from here on out because when you're down 2 touchdowns, you're going to forget about trying to establish a run, and Stafford is going to start to go downfield a lot more. So that's what I was talking about with the Hawaii Bowl last week. When you fall down 21-0, all of a sudden you are going to open up the offense and get a lot more aggressive. And that's what I think the Rams are going to do here.
The pick 6 came courtesy of Jesse Bates. So the intended pass was to Mumfield. It sails over his head.
Also, Ryan Kramer just missed the 1st touchdown score. Remember, he had the Falcons defense of what, 60-1 tonight?
Well, hopefully.
Is that right?
And I know there's a lot. Yeah, he did. He had both defenses at, I think, 60 and 45.
Too bad you can't get half the odds if you have the 2nd touchdown.
Well, I do wonder if, and I don't know this for sure, I should ask him, but a lot of people, when they put out plays like that, like Ryan does each and every primetime game, they also take a little anytime touchdown. So maybe he took a little anytime touchdown on Falcons defense, but now we get Stafford back out there. This has been their punt, their drive so far. A three and out, then a turnover on downs at the 11-yard line on a pretty terrible play call on a fourth and one run up the gut, which you basically predicted, and now a pick six. Do we see the offense finally for the Rams come to life here, Matt, with 8.5 minutes to go in the second quarter?
Well, here we go. Stafford under center with Kyren Williams, I believe, or is that
that's Corum.
That's Blake Corum in the backfield. Stafford's going to throw on first down.
There we go.
And we're going to have nothing short completion
crazy
there, but it's a 5-yard completion to the tight end. I think you're going to see a lot more of Stafford firing the ball downfield here, down 14-0.
Puka Nacua, by the way, just one catch so far in this game for 10 yards. So you would imagine you're going to see a lot more Puka at some point as this game goes on, too.
Yeah, 8 minutes to go before the half.
Don't rip up those tickets just yet on Puka Nacua or Matthew Stafford props, because they're going to start airing it out down two touchdowns here on the road.
MVP market at DraftKings. Just wanted to keep an eye on this. Not a big deal, but Stafford down to minus 140, Drake May plus 110.
He was, plus $2? Was that right? Pre-show? Plus 185, I think, was where he was at. Hey, start the new year off as a better with a VSiN Pro subscription. This is the final week to save 50% off a regular monthly price with our holiday special. You can sign up now and get VSiN Pro access through May 1st for just $79, including daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Plus, you'll receive our college football playoff betting guide, complete with expert brackets. You've got Steve Mackinnon's power rating, so check it out. VSiN.com/subscribe. VSIN.com/subscribe. Here come the Rams on the move. Under 7 minutes to go. Drive.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is VSiN Primetime here on this Monday evening alongside Matt Hughes. I'm Tim Murray. Blake Corum, excuse me, just trotted off the field in some pain, Matt. So we will see if Blake Corum gets back out there. But what we will see again is no points for the Los Angeles Rams as they punted away inside Falcons territory. And this punt will be downed at the 1 yard line. So a very nice punt there by the Rams, and the Falcons will start at their 1 yard line, Matt. But a drive with a little bit of promise leads to no points.
4:11 to go in the first half, and the Rams shut out. And that's not what a lot of people expected to see tonight. I tell you what, Tim, we're not far from Drake May becoming the favorite in the MVP race. The DraftKings right now, Stafford minus 120, Drake May minus 105. And we have the professor coming on next. So it looks like he's got a brand new sweater he got for Christmas that he's dressed up in tonight.
He's looking very sharp right now. Very very professor. Even on winter break, he's dressed like a professor. What's up, Mr. Moore?
Once a professor, always a professor. I'm at home trying to tell my family what to do and what to learn. And you know, just like in the classroom, no one's paying attention to me.
Aaron Moore joins us courtesy of our Progressive guest line. By the way, Falcons up 14-0, 3.5-point favorites on the live line, minus $1.75 right now, 4:11 to go in that. You know, as we look big picture right now, heading into week 18, with tonight being the finale of week 17, Aaron, is there a best bet in your eyes on the futures board at this point in time?
There is, Tim, and I think it's interesting watching this Rams game that the last 3 or 4 weeks we have just basically said the Rams are the team to beat because of what Stafford has been able to do. We know with what the offense can be like for the Rams. But at plus 270, I just think that's way too short of a number. And I want to compare it to what I think is the best on the board right now. You can get Jacksonville at plus 550, even some 6-1s out there to win the AFC. And put this into context here, that the Jaguars at 6-1 are probably going to be the 2 or the 3 seed. If they're the 3 seed, likely they'll play the Chargers. And look at what's in front of Jacksonville. If you have New England with Drake May, yes, he might be the new MVP leader, but still, he hasn't played in a playoff game. You have Bo Nix, who is inexperienced in terms of what he can do long-term in the playoffs. Josh Allen, what you saw last night, there clearly is a foot injury there. So if I'm going to look at possibilities here in terms of futures in the AFC, I think the Jaguars at 6-1 are absolutely the best value on the board right now. And just compare that with the Rams, what we're seeing right now. Think about Seattle. They're also in that 3-1 plus 270 range with Sam Darnold. A lot of questions out there. I don't think Jacksonville has as many questions as other teams in the AFC.
Sports media professor, VSiN analyst Aaron Moore. Follow him at Pub Relation Prof. Okay, Professor, when you look at this final week of the NFL regular season, a lot of different variables to handicap. Your Chargers, 12.5 point dogs at Denver with no Justin Herbert. Just in general, when you look at this week, what are you looking for? And are there any specific games that you have bet or you're thinking about betting?
Well, let's take that Chargers game, Matt. The one thing which I'm definitely going to play, regardless of the juice, when the player props come out, in that Chargers game, I'm going to take Cameron Dicker over 1.5 field goals. If you saw what happened in that meltdown against Houston, he missed an extra point. He missed a field goal when all season he really was one of the best kickers in the league. Now we know Jim Harbaugh is not going into this Denver game really trying to win it with Herbert on the sideline. So I think in any opportunity he can get Dicker to kick the ball in terms of field goals, long, short, maybe not go for it on 4th-and-1, have Dicker kick the ball to get into the right place mentally to give him momentum. That is a play I am absolutely going to go into this week looking for once those player prop comes out, because there's so many questions about what's going to happen in the final week, who's going to play. I think if you look at it from the standpoint of the Chargers, one of the main things they need to do heading into the playoffs is get healthy. That's why Herbert isn't going to play. And obviously get Dicker healthy in the mind after those two misses against Houston.
Yeah, a lot of people wanted the Bills to kick that extra point last night. Keep in mind that Cameron Dicker, one of the best kickers in the league, missed an extra point and a short field goal against the Texans. That kick is not automatic. Okay, so let's keep it in AFC West then, since we talked about Chargers-Broncos. How do you handicap a game like Chiefs-Raiders with Vegas being a 5.5-point home dog?
Clearly, the Raiders do not want to win. I think that is absolutely something you saw with the Giants game. And it's interesting, one of the aspects of that Giants-Raiders game, watching it on television, I don't think I have heard a stadium quiet as it was against that game. So if it's the case here of Kansas City with Oladokun at quarterback, there's probably a focus for him to win. I think the Raiders showed us they are not going to have any interest in winning this game. Maybe fewer players even take the field for them. I have to go Kansas City in this situation. The Raiders want that first pick. It looks like they're going to get it. They'll get Mendoza. They showed their cards against the Giants, and I think you're going to see much of the same against Kansas City.
You know, it's funny, Aaron, thinking about the number one pick market and when maybe the Giants had an opportunity to get it or someone else like the Titans. I thought there was a discussion, maybe Reuben Bain, someone like that could be the number one pick. Now that it certainly looks like it will be the Las Vegas Raiders, you're looking at Mendoza at minus 220, minus $2. Could you make a case for Dante Moore? Is there an angle for you to bet the number one pick market right now?
If there was an angle, Tim, I think I would look at Dante Moore just because at this point we're so far out and Mendoza at minus 200, minus 220 is just such a high number. There'd be no way I would play that. So if you're going to look at value, yeah, Dante Moore. And I think Reuben Bain at 10-1, that would be possibly worth a small play where these quarterbacks, Mendoza and Dante Moore, are going to get a lot of looks. They're going to get a lot of pokes and prods. Maybe they aren't as good as we think they are when the teams really get close to them. And, it, you know, if I was the general manager, I think I would go with Reuben Bain. He seems to be that type of defensive end who can really be a cornerstone in an NFL defense. If it was the Raiders, you could have Crosby and Bain. That would be two really good players on the edges, just from what I've seen. I think if the Raiders do take Mendoza, I think it's a mistake in terms of what he is. Yes, he's a very good quarterback. He's done really well with Indiana this year. He's had two big passes that have really propelled his stock. But Tim, I know you're a Notre Dame guy. I look at with Mendoza, if he was to be drafted as number one, it reminds me of Rick Meyer in 1993 when Seattle was desperate for a quarterback. Drew Bledsoe was taken, and they took Rick Meyer. And Rick Meyer just looked like the solid choice because he played at Notre Dame. He kept his team in. He didn't make mistakes. I really see a similarity between Mendoza and Rick Meyer. And we know Rick Meyer really didn't have a great NFL career, and that would be my take from Mendoza at this point.
Wow. Taking a shot at Tim and Notre Dame right there on the way out.
Hey,
how about Brady Quinn?
He Marcus turned Freeman's out to, huh? back, baby. We're good. Take all the shots you got at me.
All right, Professor, let's wrap it up here with college hoops. We got some big-time teams in action tonight. Anything on tonight's card or tomorrow's card you want to play in college hoops?
There is a play I'm playing tomorrow night, Matt, and I think it is one of those plays you could make now because I think that number will go down. I'm taking California plus 7.5 against Louisville. And looking at it, there's a really interesting scheduling situation here. Cal has been at home. They have not left that area, the Bay Area, since November 14th. They've been at home playing their games. They beat UCLA, but they really haven't beaten anybody otherwise of merit. But I think being at home has really helped them. Louisville, interesting, has been on the road twice this year, and they've lost. And this will only be their second game since December 16th. So I'm looking at the scheduling situation. I'm looking at Louisville going out to Berkeley. I can get Cal plus 7.5. I do think tomorrow that number clicks down a little. So I'm playing it right now with the Bears plus 7.5.
He's our professor, Aaron Moore. Always love getting his insight. Aaron, appreciate the insight, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Good luck to you.
All right. We have an interception, but there's a flag down, Matt. Xavier Watts, speaking of Notre Dame, just got an interception. Is this going to stand? It looks like it is going to stand.
Was that an offensive pass interference call? I think the receiver might have been flagged for pushing off the DB. Anyway, wow. We don't have sound on the game in studio. I thought when you – yep. Offensive pass interference, and you got a pick that's going to count for the Falcons defense and – you know,
what's the number at now?
Well, let's update it. Drake May, now the favorite to be MVP. At DraftKings, Drake May minus 145, Matthew Stafford plus 120. How about that?
Wow. What a change in the betting market tonight. Drake May, because of this dreadful first half for Matthew Stafford, now the betting favorite to win NFL MVP.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Well, that escalated quickly. 14-0 was the score just a moment ago. The Rams had the ball around midfield. Matthew Stafford throws an interception. Xavier Watts picks it off. Next play, 93 yards to the house. Bijan Robinson almost untouched, Matt, and it is now 21-0 Falcons.
Yeah, we talked about this in a pregame. Square bets, when you talk about playing over the numbers on the prop player prop numbers, on guys like Puka Nacua and Bijan Robinson, but they fly over those numbers more often than not. And those were two guys I said I would bet Puka over. I would bet Bijan over tonight. Bijan Robinson is doing his part, Tim. Puka Nacua is not. We'll see if the Rams can have come up with some sort of answer here right before the half, but we're talking about a team that is the Super Bowl favorite in the betting market and is down 21-0 tonight and getting punched in the face repeatedly. Will the Rams have a response here?
So The betting market is going crazy right now on this NFL MVP award.
Drake May suddenly a pretty big favorite.
So I'm glad you've been just monitoring it all night. It's kind of fun to that we've been doing this as a deep throw, and we are going to get no flag here on the Falcons. So the MVP award, I believe, was Stafford around, what was he pregame, minus 230?
230. We have the graphic, right?
Yeah, I think so. We're going to show the graphic here in just a moment. But Drake May right now, as actually, so here's the problem. Our graphics, they update.
I can tell you what it was pregame. Stafford was minus 230. I believe Drake May was around plus 150, wasn't he?
Somewhere in that, yeah, 150, 160.
Right now, like, Drake May has now, just in the last 10 seconds, gone up to minus 185. And Matthew Stafford is plus 155. How about that?
And if you look at FanDuel, they're even more aggressive on Drake May. Really? He's minus $3. Ooh. Matthew Stafford plus 250. 35 seconds to go in the second quarter of the
Stafford's Atlanta plus 250 at FanDuel?
Yeah.
He's plus 155 at DraftKings. Wow.
So they're a big shift here. And the Los Angeles Rams. And also, by the way, it's worth noting, I got to double check this. The Falcons can't make the playoffs, but do potentially affect the NFC South if there's a three-way tie. So if the Buccaneers, if the Falcons win out, Matt, they would finish at 8-9.
Mm-hmm.
If the Buccaneers beat the Panthers, they would both be 8-9. And in that scenario, the Panthers would get in. So
right.
If the Falcons win tonight, they're up 21-0. The NFC South game on Saturday is not a win and in situation. If the Panthers win, they're in because they would have 9 wins. They would win the division. But if the Buccaneers lose, or excuse me, if the Buccaneers win on Saturday, it would come down to the Falcons taking on the Saints. And if the Falcons win on Sunday, the Panthers would actually still get in at 8-9. So there are some scenarios at play. It is halftime, Matt. And just like we all anticipated, the Atlanta Falcons are dominating the Los Angeles Rams 21-0.
Well, the Falcons have a lot to play for, Tim, and they're showing up with a team on a mission tonight.
I'm joking. But there are, but
how about this? When you're out of contention, you play your best half of football of the season.
Yeah.
On a Monday night, but guys are going to show up on Monday night. Don't want to get embarrassed, but the Rams are not showing up here in the first half tonight. Very interesting how things have changed in the MVP market and the live betting market tonight to see the Super Bowl favorites down 21-0 at halftime.
Drake, hey, Matthew
how about
Stafford.
This question, Tim? By the end of tonight, are the Rams no longer Super Bowl favorites?
I would say yes, and would that be an overreaction?
I'm not sure it's going to be an overreaction. They're obviously not playing their best football on either side of the ball at this point in the season. Their defense just gave up 38 points in Seattle, and their offense just got shut out in the first half tonight. Now, speaking as someone who has the Rams 30-1 Super Bowl ticket, bet several months ago, I want to see this team get it turned around, but I'm very discouraged by the way the Rams are playing right now. I'm not sure they deserve to be the favorites in the market, and they're going to have to play on the road in the first round of the playoffs.
Wes Reynolds is going to join us here in 10 minutes. We'll get his thoughts on the Rose Bowl. He will be in attendance of his beloved Indiana Hoosiers as they take on the Alabama Crimson Tide. We'll also get some other college football thoughts with Wes Reynolds. So he will join us in less than 10 minutes. But Matt, we are at halftime. It is 21-0. The Atlanta Falcons with the lead over the Los Angeles Rams. Matthew Stafford, if you're just joining us, open today minus 230. To win NFL MVP, and right now at DraftKings, Drake May is a minus 290 favorite to win NFL MVP. DraftKings is not as aggressive, but it's pretty aggressive. Drake May is minus 240, Matt. So you could have, prior to the start of this game, got Drake May at what? We thought it was like plus 170, somewhere in that ballpark, and now he's minus 240. How things have changed after just 30 minutes of football.
Well, that's why we talk about this all the time on the live betting shows. Don't panic if you didn't get Falcons +8 or 7.5 pregame. You might get a better number. Actually, there was briefly a shot there during the Rams' first drive to grab Falcons +8.5 tonight.
Yeah.
But
because they went three and out.
Yeah, they went three and out right away, and then the Rams started to drive. And but man, how quickly things have changed in this game tonight. No longer are the Rams favorites in the games. Now they're big dogs. Stafford no longer the favorite in the MVP race. And I'm not going to be surprised if by the end of tonight, the Rams are no longer the Super Bowl favorites.
How about this? At DraftKings, they are not the favorites anymore.
All right, so it doesn't even take till the end of the night.
It's Seattle halftime. Seahawks okay. are the favorites at DraftKings right now, plus 450, Rams plus 550. And at FanDuel, the Rams still remain to be the favorite at plus 550. But, Matt, we have seen a shift of favorites for Super Bowl here tonight with the Rams playing. Was that their worst half of football this year?
No, it's got to be.
Stafford, two picks, shut out.
I don't even think you have to ask that question.
They were terrible.
Shut out, your quarterback throws two picks, and you're down three touchdowns. The Rams have got some problems right now, and this is not when you want to have problems in late December. So, anyway, let's catch up on college hoops tonight, Tim.
All right. Yeah, let's do that. Michigan State was in a bit of a battle with Ivy League Cornell.
Big Red.
And my favorite team.
Big Red team, got the cover, by the way.
The Big Red did get the cover. It was a moment, a brief moment, Matt, that it looked like maybe Michigan State would get the cover. They did not. Ultimately, it was Michigan State winning 114-97. Matt, when in doubt, lay the chalk with Michigan.
Well, I told you I almost did today. Michigan was a 23-point favorite, and I thought, man, that number's low against McNeese. Tim, the last time I checked, Michigan was up 50. What's the final?
They won 112-71, so a 41-point victory for the Michigan Wolverines. They were up 31 at the half over McNeese, the Cowboys, and a cruise to a victory over Will Wade's former squad as he led them to a win in the NCAA tournament a year ago. Leading the way, Morez Johnson had 24 points. Yaxel Lendenberg had 16 points and 8 boards. Michigan will return to Big Ten play on Friday night. They'll be at home. They'll be massive favorites. Matt, they're going to be hosting a top 25 team in USC on Friday night. What are they going to be? 18-point favorites?
Probably somewhere around there. I was going to say 17, but yeah, right in that neighborhood. And then again, USC is going to be a bit shorthanded in that game. So you got to keep that in mind when you handicap it later in the week. But you got three of the Big Ten favorites tonight. I'll put up 100 points or more. Purdue was a 24.5-point favorite, won the game by 41, 101-60 over Kent State. Michigan State wins 114-97 over Cornell. And Michigan, of course, rolls big. We still got Arizona and Houston in action tonight, Tim.
Yeah, Arizona right now playing the Jackrabbits of South Dakota State. Arizona leading 43-27. Matt, I was just down in Tucson doing the Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl, and their stadium is right next to the McHale Center. I have yet to go to a game at the McHale Center. Would like to check out probably a game that doesn't involve, no offense to the Jackrabbits, South Dakota State. Maybe go down there for one of the big-time Big 12 matchups for Arizona, but they lead right now
by
16.
I've actually seen a bunch of games at McHale Center. I love it. It's a great atmosphere. You got to get down there for a college hoops game. Tim, you could catch a quick Southwest Airlines flight to Tucson any night you're off work. I'm sure your wife and kid wouldn't care. Just head down Tucson, catch a big game down there. By the way, I saw you and Snoop Dogg dancing together on the sidelines during the bowl game. I believe that was you and Snoop Dogg.
I did interview him for a brief moment, though. He walked up to me, talked for a brief second, but I'll say this about Snoop Dogg in the bowl game that was, call it what it was, a dud of a game. Fresno State dominated Miami, Ohio.
I thought it was great. If you bet Fresno or you bet the under, you loved it.
Yes, yeah. That is true. It was a dead under game. Matt Entz, we were onto something about him. I think that team is headed in the right direction.
Good coach.
ProfitX, folks, the number one sports prediction market, has some of the best future pricing you'll find on the College Football National Championship and Super Bowl odds. With a huge holiday slate shaping up, playoff seating, now's the perfect time to check it out. ProfitX's 20% purchase match. Download ProfitX today and experience the future of winning.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Halftime down in Atlanta, 21-0 is the score. The Atlanta Falcons stunning the Los Angeles Rams. We've seen a flip of favorites in the NFL MVP market as Drake May, now your betting favorite to win the MVP, Matthew Stafford, a couple of turnovers in that opening half. It was all Atlanta. Two touchdowns from Bijan Robinson, including the game's first touchdown. Well, Matt, let's take a little pause from the NFL and talk some college football. And let's head to our progressive guest line and welcome in a gentleman who will be wheels up to Pasadena for the Rose Bowl as his beloved Indiana Hoosiers taking on the Alabama Crimson Tide, the one and only Hoosier Wes. Wes Reynolds joins us right now. And Wes, as we look at the betting market, we're starting to see the market come in a little bit more on Indiana. You are a homer, but you are also realistic when it comes to your team. What do you make of this spot now that the 6.5s are all disappearing and it's pretty much 7s across the board in favor of Indiana against Alabama?
Yeah, Tim, it seems like a lot of the punditry likes Alabama, but a lot of the wise guys might like Indiana here because Alabama actually has gotten a lot of the early action from this number. But now to see 7, you know, that might be a mix of general public and some sharp guys. But a lot of the punditry have been saying, like, oh, I don't know about Indiana. It's like, you know, you thought Indiana might have answered the questions beating Ohio State in the Big Ten title game, but apparently not. But a lot of this analysis has been like, this is Alabama, like that this is the same Alabama that we usually see, and it's not. And Indiana is the better team, and they haven't gotten the benefit of the doubt at all, but maybe they're going to start to toward game time. Might have to do a little bit with the weather forecast as well, because unfortunately it is going to rain on our parade in terms of the weather. We are getting rain in Pasadena. That's not good for Alabama, who can't run the ball to begin with. So I think that that might at least favor Indiana somewhat.
Wes, when do you head to Pasadena? And how much do you think this weather might matter? I was going to ask you that, too, because I see rain in the forecast. Is it going to be windy? Is it just heavy rain? And how might that impact the game? Because I agree, Alabama's ground game has been nearly non-existent in a lot of these games. And I like the Hoosiers anyway, but I think that's a reason to like them more.
Yeah, I leave tomorrow, but did check the forecast for Thursday for the Rose Parade and then, of course, for the Rose Bowl game. And it is supposed to rain relatively consistently. I don't know how hard it's going to be, but I think if it's kind of nastier conditions, that's better for Indiana because Indiana has played in those conditions. It did rain in Autzen, even though they tell us it never does. It did rain in Autzen. They also tell us it never rains in Southern California, but we know that is now a lie because it is going to rain on Thursday. I think it's going to help Indiana from a running game standpoint. Keep in mind, this was a top 10 rushing offense in the country. Now, against the better teams, they didn't run it great, like per carry against Oregon or per carry against Ohio State. I think they were in the low 3s, and against Iowa, they were at like 2.7, but they ran it well enough. And even with Overton back on the defensive line for Alabama, I think Indiana can run the ball at least a little bit. I don't think Alabama can run the ball at all. They certainly haven't proven to be able to do so all season.
All right, you just talked about Indiana's win at Oregon. How about the Ducks? The market has moved up here. Ducks 2.5-point favorites against Texas Tech in Miami on New Year's Day. How do you see that one?
It's a coin flip. I haven't decided what I'm going to do at the side, if anything. I did play a little bit on the total at 52.5, just because I'm going to trust these two defenses. Early game, by the way, in the Orange Bowl, so maybe perhaps a slow start for both of these teams, but Texas Tech is number one in the country in rush defense, 68.5 per game. So nobody has been able to run on them. And they've faced some pretty good rushing attacks as well. And then you've got Texas Tech third in total defense, Oregon 7 in total defense. And I think Dan Lanning at least is going to get after his guys on that side of the ball based on how they played in the second half against James Madison. I know the game was over essentially, but they got kind of sloppy, I think, a little bit on defense. And credit the Dukes, you know, they signed up for 60 and, you know, fought till the bitter end. But I think that's going to get the Oregon defense's attention. Both teams very good up front, especially on the defensive line. I think we get a low scoring game in Miami.
Well, speaking of low scoring, the lowest total of the four quarterfinals by far is Miami, Ohio State. This game will take place New Year's Eve at the Cotton Bowl. And depending on what number you want to bet, you can get a 41.5 out there at FanDuel. 41, we'll call the consensus. 9.5, there was a 10 for a moment. How do you look at the first of the four quarterfinals, Miami and Ohio State, Wes?
Yeah, I think we want to see, Tim, how the Ohio State offensive line is going to play. Because they were good all season, but then when you went up against Indiana, which was the best defensive line that they had faced, they didn't really do much up front. Indiana had 9 tackles for loss, 87 rushing yards for the Buckeyes, and then the pressure rate. And that's what's really a big concern against Miami. Ohio State's pressure rate, I think, was like 25.8%, top 10. They allowed almost 50%. They were right at under 49% in terms of pressure rate, which is percentage of dropbacks with a quarterback is either sacked or under duress or hit. And the Hoosiers got to Julian Sayin in that game. So I need to, you know, we're going to see if the offensive line is going to be better. It is Ryan Day calling plays now. I think 9.5, I'm waiting on the 10. I don't know if we're going to get it, but I kind of lean Miami. I think this could be a defensive struggle really for both of these teams. I'm not sure how much Miami is going to be able to run on Ohio State as well. So that's going to force Carson Beck to have to make plays. And they kind of babied Carson Beck a little bit, I thought, in that Texas A&M game. They did not let him decide it. They let Malachi Toney and Mark Fletcher decide it, which is probably usually a good idea. So would lean a little bit the U here.
The finale of the four quarterfinals, maybe after you're all wearing a Rose Bowl champion hat there at Pasadena, you'll be sitting down to watch Ole Miss take on Georgia, the only one of the four West that we've had before, as Georgia beat them 43-35 earlier this season. Highest total of the four sitting at 55.5. Georgia underneath a touchdown sitting at a 6.5-point favorite in this spot.
Yeah, it seems like we hadn't seen a lot of movement here, which kind of concerns me as somebody that likes the Georgia side, but I don't want to overread it necessarily. I'm just going with the team that I think played better down the stretch. And you know, they did dominate Ole Miss in the fourth quarter, ended up winning and also covering late. But if you look at what Georgia did late in the season, the last four games, and those last four opponents, by the way, were Texas, Charlotte, Georgia Tech, and Alabama. So 3 of 4 very quality opponents. Those teams went 10 for 48 on third down, just about 21%. Georgia forced 5 turnovers, had 9 sacks in those four games. And they haven't given up over 80 yards in the last four games on the ground. So we talked about it, Tim, on the College Football Betting Podcast, kind of a theme throughout the year. It's like, yeah, they're kind of good, but they're not like as good as they were. Like, they're not dominant up front, really, in terms of both their lines. But they looked every bit of dominant down the stretch. And I think that that's why they're the really scary team here. They didn't give up many sacks. They were 5th in the SEC in rushing. So I don't know how Ole Miss is going to meet that physicality at the line of scrimmage. And so much of an emotion dump, too, at least winning that first playoff game since Lane Kiffin bailed on him. They're going to try hard and obviously be motivated and ready to play here. But I just think Georgia has too much for him up front.
The Wizard, Wes Reynolds, with us. Wes, I got a feeling you and I are going to be on the same side here, too, with Iowa, a 5.5-point dog against Vandy. And then the final 2 minutes, quick takes on Michigan, Texas, and Nebraska, Utah.
Yeah, Iowa. I took Iowa at 5.5. I think Kirk Ferentz and Phil Parker are like chomping at the bit to get at Diego Pavia. It's like, okay, let's see how you do against our defense, which, oh, by the way, was one of the best in the country. So I don't see Vanderbilt just, you know, chucking and ducking all over the field on these guys. So I like the Hawkeyes perhaps outright. I did take the dog with Michigan at 7.5. I think that they're still going to be motivated here. Looks like a bulk of the players, the portal hadn't opened until the second, but that they're going to be back. I think they're going to play hard for Biff Poggi. They did, of course, hire Kyle Whittingham. So a lot more positive vibes and positive waves around that Michigan program that we saw. We didn't see about 10 or 14 days ago. And then I laid it with Utah. It has come back down from 16 to 14. I laid 14. I think that they play hard for Coach Witt here. I think, you know, and he essentially kind of got somewhat nudged out. I don't, you know, we'll find out the real story down the line, but it seemed like he did. I think Utah is going to run over Nebraska in the Las Vegas Bowl. So I laid the 2 touchdowns.
He's Wes Reynolds. You can catch him every week on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. And always appreciate it, Wes, and enjoy the Rose Bowl.
You bet, guys. Thanks for having me.
There he is, Wes Reynolds.
A trip of a lifetime. Wes Reynolds has waited his entire life to go to Pasadena.
1967, the last time the Indiana Hoosiers were at the Rose Bowl. Matt, the Rams are on the board.
Not the way they want, though, with a field goal, not a touchdown.
21-3, 11 minutes to go in the third quarter. They get points, but not what they wanted, as Matt pointed out there. It is VSiN Prime Time. We'll update you on what's unfolding on Monday Night Football and take a look across the college basketball landscape as well. Come on back right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.